This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. O Lord, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power that we may not fall into sin, nor be overcome in adversity. And in all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. The prayer that I just prayed is part of the tradition of the Anglican Church, but it also is a part of the Lutheran Church. The church in which I had served for many years as a Lutheran pastor, primarily in the state of Pennsylvania. And this prayer is very dear to me because it is a part of my daily prayer still. Of course, when I would pray it alone, I would say, O Lord, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought me in safety to this new day. Preserve me with your mighty power, that I may not fall into sin or be overcome by adversity. And in all that I do, direct me to the fulfilling of your purpose. Through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen. Today, in our reading, one particular verse, verse 35, says to us, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house and he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. The previous day had been quite demanding. We heard about it with last week's gospel. Today would be no different. Now that the word had gotten out, the people were aware of the authority by which this Jesus taught and the power by which he was able to deal with the difficulties in people's lives. Far and few would the time be now for Jesus to find time to be alone. Ever since he cast out the demon in that synagogue in Capernaum that we heard last week, the people would not leave him alone. News had spread through all of Galilee like wildfire. People came and now are pressing upon him with all of their problems, even those disciples. As we see, they bring them to Simon Peter's house for the concern with the mother-in-law with fever, bringing all of their diseased persons and loved ones to be healed. Scripture tells us this is the reason why Jesus came into the world. His mission was to meet the needs of all humankind, and there are so many of them. How could he possibly meet all of their needs? Where would he get the strength, given his own humanity, to keep up that pace, constantly preaching good news with a fresh experience for those people who so desperately needed it, to keep on giving of himself to bring them life and to bring them hope? Does it sound familiar? If Jesus needs that help, then what about you and me? Look at the demands that are placed upon us with our daily living. Demands on our time, our strength, our resources that are just simply a part of daily living, particularly as we seek to be faithful servants of our God. Every day there are needs to be met, decisions that we have to make, business that has to be tended to. Every day there are people who have to relate to us and we have to relate to them, conflicts that have to be resolved, actions that require a great deal more strength than we can possibly muster. If Jesus needed help, then what about you and me? It seems that Jesus didn't struggle with that concern for long in his life. Very early in his life and ministry, he discovered the practicality and the power of an early morning rendezvous, as Mark's gospel tells us this morning. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus knew that he needed help. He knew that he could not live in this world without the help of God his Father. If he was to be one that would be continually giving of himself, he had to find time to take in and to be nurtured. If he's going to spend his time and his energies giving to people, he needed to find spiritual time to be refreshed and renewed for his daily ministry. He knew that it was not humanly possible for him to accomplish all that was needed to be accomplished in any single day, depending on his own human strength alone. But after all, he knew he didn't have to. He knew that in his presence is an almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-wise God who would be present to him always, ready to provide whatever he needed, whenever he needed, and however he needed it. All he had to do was ask. The Bible says, we have not because we ask not. If we ask, we shall receive. You see, that is what prayer is all about. Prayer is our coming to God, our seeking of God, our soul wanting and responding to God. Prayer is standing before God as an empty pitcher, waiting to be filled with the overabundance of his love to be poured into us. Prayer is a connection with God that gives us a source of power and purpose. Prayer is opening ourselves to the nourishment of God, much as a flower in a tree opens itself to the environment to enjoy the air, the warm sunshine, and the refreshing rain. Prayer is our communication with God. It is living in this very intimate relationship, surrendering all that we are and all that we could possibly be to all that God is. For as Jesus said, the Father and I are one. The works that I do are not mine, but the one who has sent me. Not to pray is to be guilty of the incredible folly of ignoring the possibility of adding God to our limited resources. In prayer, Jesus sought the strength not only of communion with God, but fellowship and a constant relationship that would provide him with all that he needed. Indeed, if Jesus needed this in his life, what about you and what about me? Although the Lord Jesus lived in unbroken fellowship with God, it was still his regular habit to find time in the morning to have time for prayer. Though he practiced the presence of God in his life with everything that he did at all times, he did not neglect this opportunity for an early morning rendezvous with God. Now, I use the word rendezvous because a rendezvous means a meeting, an appointment at a set place and time. To have a rendezvous is not just to leave things to chance. We very intentionally set up a date, a time, and a place, and we do all that we can to be there at whatever cost. But let's be totally honest, shall we not? Most of our meetings with God are not planned. Most of our prayers are occasions that are spontaneous and spur-of-the-moment prayers. We turn to God because suddenly it's an emergency, a time of crisis, when our backs are up against the wall. When there are too many demands being placed upon us that drain our energy. When there's a loved one, a child, or a parent or grandparent that is ill. Or the end of the month and there are still deadlines to be met and bills to be paid. We feel exhausted and we recognize that we need help. And so now we say, we'll try God. If the truth be told, we've tried everything else. And now we finally say, let's try God. There's no way to carry on a relationship with God, who is the lover of our souls and the one that we say we love above all things, if we do not open ourselves to finding time to speak to God and allow him to speak to us also. God is our best friend. And there isn't anything that we cannot take to God. Nothing that we can't tell him. Nothing we can ask God about or let God know about. Our friendship with God should be daily and constant. I'm reminded of a priest in my early ministry in Pennsylvania that had a very, very busy parish life, and constantly people were moving in and out of the church building. But he always had a set time on his schedule for private prayer. Anybody arriving at that time were always told, you can't see him. He has an appointment with God right now. An appointment with God. That's what we need to make also. To make it a priority, an engagement that cannot be broken. Now, Jesus didn't leave his meeting with God just to chance. It appears, as our text tells us, that he had an appointed time and place. His favorite rendezvous time was always early in the morning. In fact, one version of Scripture says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, while the dew was still on the ground, Jesus got up. It takes discipline to get up that early. The same discipline by which, however, you and I get up every morning certainly can be channeled to be a little earlier to meet God. Some of us would never think of leaving or starting the morning without having breakfast, but we start the day without prayer time. Some of us would never think of leaving the house without taking a shower, but we leave without serious prayer time. Why can't we get up? Oh, I'm tired. I try to pray at night, but suddenly I fall asleep on the pillow in the middle of my conversation with God. So it goes nowhere. But let me tell you something. In the reading that we have this morning, the day before was the busiest day that Jesus ever experienced in his entire ministry. If anyone deserved to sleep in, it was Jesus. But he didn't. He got up early. It takes discipline, and it takes desire. To get up in the morning to meet God is an expression of our sincere desire to be with God, to have this relationship with God. It says to God, you are important to me. You are important to my life. My selfish concerns and my own desires are only second. This relationship is what is important. It takes discipline. It takes a desire. And that is what Jesus did, seek God early in the morning, and discovers that as a result of that, there is a blessedness that carries us throughout the entire day. Morning is a wonderful time to meet God. In the morning, it is a new day, untouched. The night's sleep has separated us from all the problems and concerns of the day previous. With the morning, our mind is fresh. In the morning, we have this incredible opportunity to start all over again and to allow God to enter into us and to set the tone for our day. Imagine meeting this source of peace and joy the first thing you do as you step onto the floor in the morning. What incredible choice it would be to have that experience to guide us through the day. I would like to share with you a piece of music, an audio experience this morning that, for me, captures a sense of what morning prayer is like for me. I want you to listen to the words very carefully. I want you also to feel the spirit of this song. It is a recording of a boys' choir from the National Cathedral in Washington. If need be, even close your eyes. Just relax and concentrate and listen to this beautiful music. Can you imagine being connected to that kind of feeling, that kind of power, that joy and that praise that sets the tone for your entire day? That is what morning prayer does for Jesus. That's what it does for us. It's what I feel Jesus has been trying to help us understand. Here is this incredible gift of prayer. It is life-changing. And yet it is so underutilized. When you meet God in the morning, when you start your day with prayer and praise, that experience of God's awesome love for you will make a difference in your day, your entire day. In the morning, we can get a head start on all those demands and meet the day's challenges. In the morning, we are prepared for whatever comes, the duties, the trials, the disappointments. The morning offers us that opportunity to invite God to be present, to be with us, and to participate in our entire day in a significant way. If God is not invited to be first in our thoughts and our efforts in the morning, God will be in last place the remainder of the day. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. It is my prayer, brothers and sisters, that we as believers learn to develop this incredible gift, this gift of prayer that is ours in holy baptism. that we have this privilege daily of inviting the presence of God into our lives, that it may set the tone for all of our words and all of our deeds. Amen.